Well, welcome to Palm Sunday, a day where we wave around and parade around with palm branches and shouts of Hosanna, where we look to the entrance of Jesus the King, full of excitement as he comes into Jerusalem. Here at Faith, you might have picked up your palm branches this last week to have them in your home. And we have palms available to wave because that's one of the hallmarks of this holy day, right? This time of remembering Jesus's entry into Jerusalem, the start of this holy week full of important events and days in Jesus's story and in our story of faith. But if you were paying close attention to the reading, or if you're watching the children's sermon just now, you might have noticed that there was no waving of palm branches mentioned, and no shouts of Hosanna either. Luke's version of this Palm Sunday event is more subdued than what we find in the other Gospels, almost inflicted with an undercurrent of maybe anxious energy. We even hear that Jesus was weeping. We are restless. We are on edge. After a year in a pandemic, and now this, our second Holy Week in a row, where it's not safe to gather together in the sanctuary or be with family or friends from afar, we are uneasy. Add to the mix the fact that our country has experienced 2 mass shootings in 1 week, and a smaller scale shooting in Virginia Beach on Friday, the loss of 20 people in 10 days. And at the very least, if not anxiety, there is certainly a great numbness in our bodies and souls. So this year, instead of seeing and hearing faces full of joy, children running around, shouts of praise saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven," we might resonate more with the thoughts of the Pharisees in the story. "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." It's almost as if the Pharisees are saying, "Quit with this big hoopla and celebration. Tell these people to calm down, to pack up, just go home. What is there to celebrate anyway? All this chaos is just adding more anxiety to a society that is already restless enough." You and I are restless. We're worn out and stressed out. We're sick of being at home or in our bubbles. We're anxious to break out of isolation, but anxious for what might happen if we do. There's a nervous energy buzzing around us all the time. Like the Pharisees, we might be thinking, "Okay, it's nice, it's okay that Jesus is here, but could he just keep everyone from being so peppy?" We are on edge. We are anxious. We are restless. Jesus brings peace. Jesus offers reassurance and well-being. Jesus brings true harmony and contentment. As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Jesus is well aware that the city as a whole doesn't understand what he is up to. Since chapter 9 of Luke's gospel, Jesus has been talking about how the people aren't going to get it. The whole rest of creation seems to understand, to know who Jesus is and recognize the true peace that Jesus brings. "I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out," says Jesus. Even the stones can see the peace that Jesus brings, the promise for a new way of living. So, it's not a happy picture that Jesus paints as he explains how a lack of understanding, a lack of welcoming in God's true peace will affect the people. "Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. When you don't understand where peace comes from, Jesus seems to say, violence happens. Much like you and I often try to create or force peace through unpeaceable means, through military power or guns, through segregating ourselves by race or ethnicity or income. The people of the city of Jerusalem have put their trust in systems that do not allow for true peace. Neither the city of Jerusalem nor you or I seem to be able to wrap our heads around where true peace lies. Despite this lack of understanding, we know that this is not the end of the story. We know that the gift of heavenly peace will not be withheld from the people of Jerusalem or from us. As this Holy Week progresses, we will remember Jesus as he washes his disciples' feet and shares in the meal of Holy Communion on Maundy Thursday. We will hear the story of Jesus' trial and crucifixion and death on Good Friday. And we will give thanks, rejoicing in Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday. Again and again, regardless of our shortcomings, our failures to understand, Jesus continues to give us reassurance and contentment. Always, Jesus brings peace to our weary world. We are invited to take a risk. We are invited to put ourselves out there. Jesus invites us to step out of our comfort zones or our privilege, to encounter and make room for his peace to flourish. Here we sit in this time between Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and his death and resurrection, between the time when the pandemic began and the day when life will feel more normal, between Jesus' resurrection and his coming again. What do we do? Where are we to find peace, to find a bit of joy for our restless moods? Today, Jesus reminds us, look, the answer is in the Torah. It's in the Hebrew scriptures. Do those things, and that's how you find the peace that I bring. Don't cheat people. Take only what is rightfully yours. Live a life within your means. Work on a plan for the redistribution of wealth. Work to bring happiness and jubilee and joy to folks. Resettle the debt structures. Bring healing and wholeness to all who are oppressed and suffering. These things, these changes to the system are achievable if only we have the will to truly do them. Jesus says, the things that make for peace are hidden from your eyes. And perhaps that's often true. But I also wonder how often it is that we know what might make for peace, but it feels risky. It threatens our position in life to actually make a change, so we pretend that we don't know. Now, on this day, where Jesus' journey to the cross looms ever closer, Jesus reminds us of the difference our actions can make. We are invited to take a risk. Artist and writer Jan Richardson writes, "The road that Jesus traveled to Jerusalem in order to make his entrance that we celebrate on Palm Sunday was not terribly long in terms of physical distance. Yet it was miles deep, marked by years of preparation and prayer, discernment and courage as Jesus traveled farther into the fullness of who he was meant to become." So, what road do we need to travel to meet the Christ who comes toward us on that ancient way of procession and pilgrimage? What journey do we need to take by inches and miles in order to welcome him? Blessed is the one who comes to us by the way of love poured out with abandon. Blessed is the one who walks toward us by the way of grace that holds us fast. Blessed is the one who calls us to follow in the way of blessing, in the way of peace. Amen.